We all have a story. A story, a narrative of our life. Proof of our existence, our humanity. Our human stories are what shape us. Over the course of our lives, using our past and our present experiences, we are shaped. We in turn unfurl them through the power of storytelling. For generations, human beings have used stories to influence, teach, inspire, and connect. Human connection and relationships are vital to our sense of who we are, our belonging in a group, a sense of identity in contrast to others in that group. They become an almost therapeutic support system and a way of battling loneliness and isolation. We all experience difficult feelings at some time in our lives. And being We all experience different feelings at some time in our life, and being in relationship, the human connection is one way we can support one another, one way we can feel better. Our mental health can even depend on it. So why is it that we don't talk more openly about mental illness, bouts of depression, and anxiety? The culture that we live in influences our perceptions and moral judgments, often causing us to place value labels on human beings based on everything from a person's race, gender, sexuality, class, ability, even the health of someone's brain, the way a person thinks, acts, and feels. In social terms, labels represent a way of differentiating and identifying a person. And oftentimes, they're derived from fear, prejudice, and discrimination. According to the National Alliance of Mental Illness, 1 in 5 Americans have some form of mental illness. And for youth, the number is 1 in 20. Even though many people suffer from mental illness, and it's likely that you know someone who does, you may never find out unless they tell you directly. The powerful stigma of mental illness deters people from accessing health care, and it deters them from talking to each other because of the fear of judgment. This isn't a new problem. History tells us a story of people who suffered from mental illness and then were stripped of their dignity and worth as human beings. Unitarians, Universalists, and Unitarian Universalists have a long history of working for justice through advocacy and reform for those who suffer from mental illness. You may have heard of social reformer and Unitarian Dorothea Dix, who played an instrumental role in founding and the expansion of more than 30 hospitals for the treatment of the mentally ill. She was a leading figure in national and international movements that changed the idea that people with mental disturbances, what they called at that time, could be cured, or that their symptoms, when treated, can allow people to function and remain engaged in the world around them. Dorothea was a critic of cruel and neglectful practices towards the mentally ill, such as caging, incarceration without clothing, and painful physical restraint. It's been said that her personal experience with mental instability is what drove her to focus on the issues of asylum reform. And her persistence on the issue led to some important victories. Over time, it was the work of people like Dorothea Dix that helped us learn that we can better help people. But the remnants of this harmful culture has perpetuated the shame, has kept the stigmas alive by causing feelings of hopelessness and isolation, and leading to the reluctance of us to seek treatment. These stigmas lead to discrimination for employment and social interaction, bullying, harassment, sometimes even violence. The self-doubt can be paralyzing. When a person starts to believe that they can never overcome the illness or manage it to achieve what they want in life, it can be devastating. So what can we do? I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to be mindful of the stories that we tell ourselves and that we tell each other. Stories are so powerful that the narrative can shape our personal outlook on life and how we see ourselves in the world. We must pay attention to the stories we tell. Which one of us here hasn't dealt with some level of sadness or depression, a life-altering event that we might have benefited from by support from another, or seeking professional help, but we chose not to because of the stigma of depression? But mental illness does not discriminate the way people do. No one has been able to say the exact cause of mental illness, but we know that genetic and biological and physiological and environmental factors, or a combination, can contribute. What we do know for sure is that it is not a personal weakness or a character defect. It is not a personal weakness or a character defect. And recovery from mental illness is not a matter of will and self-discipline, which is another stigma. I found Unitarian Universalism in a closet in 2004. I was in a loving and committing relationship that continues today. And societal norms around sexuality and gender roles had created a shame and a fear that was really just too much for me. So instead of facing that, I hid one of the most important parts of my life from my loved ones, from my friends, co-workers, and strangers for the fear of judgment. Unitarian Universalists have been what we call welcoming congregations to those of us in the LGBTQ community. From the moment that I crossed the threshold of that first congregation, I was affirmed, accepted, and loved. And even though there were only a few others like me in the congregation, I knew that I could still see that my humanity mattered. I could see myself in the life of the congregation. And it didn't take long before I started to take that feeling and transform it into what at the time was a terrifying risk to come out to others inside and outside of my UU circle. And that acceptance and support is what carried me through. Whenever we show up as our authentic selves, whenever we are accepted as such, when we can see ourselves in the fabric of community, the support is powerful enough to change our story, even change our life. So it matters. It matters how we respond to people who suffer from mental illness. And often, it can be an invisible disability. It matters how we respond individually, as Unitarian Universalist, and as a society. As UUs, we believe and affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. It is our responsibility and sometimes our challenge to treat people as individuals and recognize them with all of their flaws and all of their gifts. From as far back as we know, people have sought out religious communities for connection and comfort. We've been turning to faith communities for support for decades, and it makes sense if you think about it. One of the most popular ways to interact within a congregational setting is to attend Sunday services, meetings, religious education groups, covenant circles, social gatherings. And you do that with people who have similar values. Congregations provide a container to evaluate and better manage the anxiety that may come up in other social gatherings. Although I do hear from many that coffee hour can be quite stressful for some of us, especially us introverts. But fear not, we are quite welcoming here at UUCMC. When I visit other UU congregations, as an introvert, I typically skip coffee hour for the anxiety of standing alone, and it can be often overwhelming. And let's be real, I am not rolling up to somebody to chat with them in an unfamiliar place. I'm just too shy for that. But I've digressed. My point is that people come to faith communities for support and encouragement. Sometimes we come to break the pattern of social isolation for acceptance, for love, for meaningful connection. We have a responsibility as Unitarian Universalists to live our best and most faithful life with a commitment to acceptance of one another. To grow individually and together, and to challenge injustice when we see it. The stigma people face when they are depressed, anxious, or suffering from mental illness has been proven to hinder us and keep us locked in that isolation, which only makes matters worse. A few years into this work as a religious educator, I met a UU minister at a workshop that they led. They were a well-known professional in our professional circle, which isn't very large, but the person, it seemed as if everyone knew them, read their books, went to their workshops. Essentially, they were the picture of someone who had it all together. I followed them on social media, wanting to keep up with the latest wisdom that they had to offer. And as a newer religious educator, these were the people that I looked up to. And after a few months, I noticed that I hadn't heard anything new from them. And for some time, it was as if they disappeared, even managing to hide from Google. They were gone, and I was curious how someone so established in this work just disappears. After a few years, they started showing up again online. Their writing was being published again, except their voice and how they were choosing to use their gifts had shifted. Their ministry had been enriched by an honesty that was at first daunting for many who watched from afar. This minister took to Facebook and spoke openly about their struggles with depression and anxiety, and how the shame and the ideals of what a minister was and should be impacted her ability to seek support, essentially giving her no choice but to step back from her professional work to care for her own mental illness, which had deteriorated. She hid it. And honestly, when I was first reading on Facebook her different posts, I couldn't blame her. The stigmas had infiltrated my mind as well. Now, in my work as a social worker and a religious educator, I spend a lot of time telling people that it's nothing to be ashamed of. My experience with family and friends, always encouraging lovingly for them to seek treatment, and reminding them that the label of an illness does not define them. If you had diabetes, you would go to the doctor, I'd say. But somehow this seemed different. She was a religious professional. Shouldn't she be more careful when speaking about her diagnosis? What led to her decline in mental health and seeking treatment? And what I realized was that she took her experience and she turned it into a part of her ministry. She took the stigma away. When we talk about mental health, we remove the power that the stigmas hold, not only for ourselves, but for others. Just the mention of this service in the e-blast prompted a handful of people right here in this congregation to share with me that they have struggled with depression and how powerful it is to be recognized and to be reminded that they are not alone. When we destigmatize by talking about mental health and we advocate and we do more to support our communities, we break down the walls and the barriers for people. The religious professional, my colleague, her honesty, her conversations led more people to seek help, led more religious professionals to open up and be honesty about their own, be honest about their own struggles. We set high standards for ourselves, all of us. We live in a world that tells us that we need to be perfect, That perfection is the goal, and this increased awareness in our lives through social media further enforces these mythical social achievements that we're all trying to meet. When you think of someone suffering from mental illness, is the first thing that you imagine a well-educated, successful, white female minister? Especially considering the data that mental health conditions are common among teens and young adults, that 50% of all lifetime mental illness develop by the age of 14, and 75% develops by the age of 24. So what is it about the stories that we tell ourselves, the stories that we tell each other, that we must be so careful about? Our stories become shaped by our past and our present. They become shaped by the societal conditioning that we are taught. And if we're not careful, they can lead us to a denial of our full humanity. They can reduce us to the sum of our labels that society puts upon us. When we are isolated, that is exactly the time when we need each other. It is when we need to be able to come and turn to our faith community and know that someone will be here, someone will show up for us, that it's a safe place, and that someone will affirm us for the unique individual we are. Whether we've come here to heal or be healed, forgive or be forgiven, weak or strong, we have to be willing to see ourselves and others authentically. We have to be willing to remove the labels and to see each other from more than a single perspective created by the stories we tell. And it's times like these that are exactly when we need to turn the world upside down. To find the things that can't be found, to stretch our minds and spread our wings, and to learn to fly. Support from a faith community can make a difference in a person's life. So much so that it can even make a difference between life and death. May we all see beyond the sum of our labels. Let us not limit our stories to the stories of an illness, because it is then that we can see people as a whole person. It is not the label that is important. It's being human.